This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 1377. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, especially shortwave. On this edition, recorded October 10th, new shortwave radio country, Micronesia. Some HD radio turned off at night. Station news from Peru and Brazil. Radio Netherlands Flevo transmitters going off. B07 schedule changes. Radio St. Helena Day chosen. China Radio International ignores Burma and the propagation outlook. Pacific Missionary Aviation tested its new shortwave transmitter for just a few days last February and March around 4755 kilohertz. Since then, we've been patiently waiting for them to resume and begin regular service. It's finally happened. A carrier was again being heard around the frequency in late September by a Japanese DXer, and in early October, regular broadcasts seem to have started and were soon widely reported. On the ABDX list, Murray Lycon, I think in British Columbia, was hearing something on 4754.8 October 2nd at 0745, but he couldn't be sure of an ID. Then on October 3rd at 0950 UT, Mauno Rito in Finland said his Japanese colleague had just reported hearing a PMA measured on 4755.25. An FM station has already been operating, and their own website was slow to confirm that shortwave had finally been added. In fact, the programming appears to be merely duplicating what's on local FM. It's www.pmapacific.org. Look for the ministries and radio subpages. The next day, Mauno Riitela was able to hear them in Finland and quickly got a verification by email, confirming, of course, that they were on the air. Helps to send some audio samples attached. Some details from Seichi Hasegawa of the Nagoya DX Circle. They may be on the air 24 hours, that was not certain, but is heard as early as 0800 UT and as late as 2100. As implied in the logo on their website, their slogan is The Cross. In North America, we have a chance to hear it right up to sunrise or a little bit after local time. Edward Kusilik in Alberta heard an ID at 1332 UT, and the ID seemed to mention the name of the young lady speaking. However, a number of different names have been heard. He thought she called herself Melinda. And so did Dave Vaqua in Pennsylvania, Bruce Churchill in California, and John Wilkins in Colorado. Actually, it appears Melinda is at the headquarters in Guam and not on Pohnpei Island at all. Different times, of course, are necessary to hear it in Europe. Art Rowe in Deutschland reported to BDX that he was hearing it around 2000 UT. As for the name of the announcer, S. Hasegawa in Japan, at one point said she was calling herself Nova, and George Hare in California in the NASA fly sheet thought the name was Malvia. Mauno Riitela sent me a clip containing two voices. Sounded like one was Angel and the other one Pharma. But Dave Valco, Pennsylvania, received a reply from them explaining and spelling the names A-N-J-E-L and T-A-N-Y-A. Power is believed to be about 1 kilowatt, so they're getting out quite well, reported from all over North America, as well as Japan, Australia, and Europe. The frequency once again for Pacific Missionary Aviation, Pohnpei, Micronesia, 4755.25. In the Ontario DX Association, David Ross reminds us to listen for an English broadcast from VOA Delano, which is slated to close at the end of October. It's the special English show at 0130 to 02 UT, Tuesday through Saturday on 13740. Leonidas dos Santos Nascimento in Brazil circulated a reply he received from one of the people producing the VOA program Buenas Noches, America. Celi Romais sent it on to us. She's saying that the powers that be have apparently decided to cancel that program. It's the VOA's evening news magazine in Spanish, currently on the air at 0130 to 02 UT, the same time as we just mentioned for English. But this is 4 days a week, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday on 6110, 9560, and 9885. It's not clear whether she's just referring to canceling this program, which might be replaced by another program, or if they're thinking of canceling the entire sesquihour evening broadcast in Spanish starting at midnight 30. Good news for medium wave listeners. Greg Hardison forwards an item from Inside Radio October 2nd, 3 weeks after the FCC began allowing AM stations to broadcast in HD after dark. Citadel engineers say interference concerns and listener complaints have led to the decision to pull the plug. Of special concern is the impact on their big 50-kilowatt stations like WABC New York and WJR Detroit, which are right next to each other, of course, and must have been interfering with each other. Insiders call the move temporary while they look for ways to improve coverage and point out they will remain in HD during daylight hours. But we cannot breathe a complete sigh of relief just yet, Bill Harms in Maryland points out. I'm still skeptical, and a recent quote about the Citadel suspension corroborates this. I believe the powers that be think digital in some form is inevitable on the AM band, and that the interference issue is nothing more than a speed bump on the way to attaining that goal. That's why our complaints may seem to be falling on deaf ears. These people believe that if you tweak and change the system enough, it will eventually work. In other words, they've not been convinced it will not work. The suits have not accepted the fact that the raw material, the AM band itself, is not conducive to digital radio without a major revamping of allocations and stations going off the air. Is that what they really want? It's almost time for a new season of special medium wave DX tests, this year arranged by Jim Pogue. The first one is from WIRL 1290 in Peoria, Illinois. UT Sunday, October 21st, from 07 to 09 UT, with 5,000 watts and their normal daytime pattern. This test, and most of them, will include voice IDs, Morse codes, and tones, and on this station in particular, some classic country music. The next one is UT Saturday, October 27th, from 08 to 08:30, from WLPO 1220 in LaSalle, Illinois. And a couple of nights later, early Monday morning, October 29th, WCXH 780 in Monticello, Maine, will test from 08 until 09 UT. That, of course, is the medium wave counterpart of WBCQ. Full details on exactly how to send a reception report for QSL, if you're lucky enough to hear them, are at www.dxtests.info. For the better part of an hour, October 9th from 1305 UT, Radio Havana Cuba trashed the entire 13 megahertz broadcast band, and they turned on their 13680 transmitter. It was accompanied by spurs all over the band and beyond, peaking every 50 kilohertz or so. This made it impossible, for instance, to listen to Radio Tirana, Albania, on 13750, or Radio Prague on 13580. The spurs even extended past the 20-meter ham band and as low as 12845. In a Ciudad de Chiche, Rafael Rodriguez in Colombia reports on some Peruvian stations. Radio La Hora in Cusco is active on 4857.5, or it was September 27th when he heard it, but it says it's only on the air working days, guess that means Monday through Friday, for sesquihour starting at 2300. Another station signing off early, so you might think it's not on the air at all, is Radio Ancash in Huaraz, Peru, 4990.9. He heard it September 25th and till closing at 2325 UT. He says the sign-off varies, but it's always before midnight UT. Radio San Nicolas in Rodriguez de Mendoza, Peru, 5470.9. Here is September 25th for an hour at 2329. He says their schedule is approximately 2230 to 0130 variable, and also in the morning from 1100 until 1230. Some Brazilian station news from Celiro Mais on his website and or in his column Panorama in Atividade de Xixe. Edson Bocorni Jr. reports that Rádio Nacional da Amazônia 6180 has been off the air quite a bit, and when it comes back, the signal is much weaker than usual. Some currently or recently inactive frequencies, Rádio Brasil Central, not heard on 4985, but still heard on 11815. Rádio Canção Nova, also inactive on 4825. Rádio Cultura AM, São Paulo, which had been missing from 9615 for a while, is back on the air in early October, says Edison Bocorni, as well as on 16 meters, 17815. Célio Romais was able to hear Rádio Gazeta São Paulo, the only Brazilian active, on 19 meters, 15325, September 30th at 1819. Rádio Guarujá Paulista, which was renamed Rádio Globo Santos, is no longer being heard on the only frequency it was still using, 3385, according to Rudolf Grimm. Rádio Record de São Paulo recently reactivated 9505 and was heard with excellent reception, also in Brazil by Célio Romais at 1457. Edison Bocorni notes that Rádio Globo São Paulo always turns off its shortwave transmitters at 1955 UT, right in the middle of whatever's going on, 9585 and 6120. In Conexión Digital, Adán Moore in Paraguay reports that Rádio Guaíba in Porto Alegre, Brazil, 11785, was heard on matching spurs as well, 265 kHz away, 11520 and 12050, September 22nd at 1550 with an ID in sports. On October 8th, we heard from Horacio Negro in Uruguay that one of the shortwave stations there might temporarily reactivate for some special tests, Banda Oriental on 6155. This was all very iffy, but the date might have been October 10th. In any event, if you have a clear nighttime path to Uruguay on 6155, give it a try. The least interference, I think, should be between midnight and 04 UT, and after Austria fades out, maybe 0700. BBC suddenly changed frequency for its Caribbean service in English via WHRI, which had been on 13640. Now at 21 to 23 UT, it's on 9525. And the parallel from Greenville, 11675, we notice, as does Stephen Luce and Raul Saavedra, does not always start promptly at 2100. In fact, it may come up half an hour late. Via Mike Terry, the Daily Telegraph reported October 10th that the BBC is braced for its worst industrial action in a decade as management prepares to axe up to 2,800 jobs to save 2 gigapounds, a 12% cut. Doing the math, I was somewhat surprised that each job is worth over £714,000, although I doubt that many of the workers receive anywhere near that much on their paycheck. An advanced look at the B07 Radio Netherlands schedule shows a notable omission. Nothing at all will be broadcast from Flevo in the Netherlands. This has been discussed on a German language forum via Kai Ludwig. It appears that Radio Netherlands will diversify further, using airtime on a number of other transmitter sites, some of which they've already been using. Their own, of course, in Bonaire and Madagascar, but also Soonish Portugal, Nauen in Wertartel, Germany, Skelton, UK, Dabaya, UAE, Singapore, Myerton, South Africa, Sackville, Canada, and this is new, I think, even IBB, Tanang, Philippines, for an Indonesian broadcast, in exchange for IBB using Madagascar for a Persian broadcast. Kai Ludwig says he also expects them to be broadcast via sites in Russia and Hirby, Sweden. Note that the Flevo transmitter site is not owned by Radio Netherlands itself, nor is it any longer owned by Nozema, but by something called KPN Broadcast Services. Standard disclaimer, the media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio, number 1377. Check our website for much more info, worldofradio.org. Our address, WORADIO at yahoo.com, or P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702, USA. Speaking of new transmitter sites, Kai Ludwig says that in the B07 season, which starts the last Sunday in October, Deutsche Welle will be relayed by WHRI for 1 hour at 10 UT on 9865 to Latin America in German. Deutsche Welle, of course, no longer broadcasts to North America in German or English, but for those who inquire, such as Chuck Bolin, they send out a schedule of suggested frequencies, which may be audible here, although intended for elsewhere. And in the B07 season, this is what they recommend for English to be audible in North America, although transmitted from Kigali, Rwanda, to parts of Africa. At 05 to 05:30 on 9755, 6 to 6:30, 12045, 20 to 2057, 9735, and 21 to 22, 11690 and 13780. Dragan Lekic in Serbia tells DX Listening Digest, I phoned Belgrade and talked directly to Mr. Graovac, a technical director of International Radio Serbia. He says they received resources to repair only one transmitter at the Bijeljina Bosnia station. It will be reactivated at the beginning of December, this time for sure, and will use only 250 kilowatts because of electrical energy savings. It will broadcast only on 6100 kHz with a directional 15 dB gain antenna and non-directional antenna of 6 dB gain. Furthermore, they plan to start the DRM mode in 2010. However, Kai Ludwig points out that using only 6100 is a very bad idea due to DRM from Luxembourg on 6095. They've already been using that frequency, but blown away by the DRM. I say maybe with 250 kilowatts, they can degrade the DRM reception and persuade Luxembourg to move away if some friendlier solution cannot be reached. Meanwhile, Ola Alm in Sweden tells us that DRM on 6095 has been off during the night for several days, only in the daytime, 06 to 18UT. Hopefully it's not just a temporary cutback, and that also applies to Luxembourg DRM on 5990. Jose Miguel Romero in Spain provides the B07 English schedule from Radio Slovakia International. The times remain at the same UT, and there's not much change in frequencies, but to Europe at 1730, it'll be 5915 and 6055. At 1930, 5915 and 7345. To North America and South America at 0100, 7230 and 9440. And finally, to Australia at 0700, 13715 and 15460. Following does not yet appear in any of the usual references, so I wonder if anyone can help us ID the station on 13745 from before 13UT until past 1350. It's right next to Radio Tirana on 13750. Appears to be in a Southwest or South Asian language. Here's another intriguing unidentified on 4805.3. On September 9th, David Morris in Dorset reports to BDXC UK Communication a very faint signal with energetic songs and a female announcer at 1820 UT. Jari Savolainen in Finland replies, about a year ago there was a station on about 4805.2 playing at times Czech or Slovak songs and at times also Middle East or Central Asian sounding music. It was earlier around 4825, relaying a Czech FM station, Radio Koliba. Recently, I've also noted a station around 4805.2 during the UT evenings, but too weak to identify the type and language of the music. The following may be coincidental, but it's also on 4805. Samuel Cassio Martins in São Paulo, Brazil, on October 8th, heard a station playing a variety of pop music at midnight 40 UT and announcements by a woman in English signing off abruptly at 0107. Well, the only thing I could guess, maybe it's one of the All India Radio stations off frequency, as often happens, but he says he does not think it is India, nor is it Amazonas, Brazil, which is supposedly on the frequency, but which he has not heard lately. And yet another NID I've been hearing on 15645, starting at 15UT. A rather weak signal, but with two or three jammers. These are not Firedrake or the Cuban type of jamming, but oscillating tones. Kai Ludwig suggests it may be jamming against Call Israel's Persian service, which is scheduled at that hour on 15640, but we're not hearing it there, so maybe they've shifted up 5 kilohertz, trying to avoid the jamming only to be followed. Strangely enough, we never hear any jamming like that on other broadcasts in Persian, such as Radio Fardaw. On October 9th, Jose Miguel Romero in Spain was monitoring all the scheduled transmissions of the Voice of Africa from Libya. He says the only one heard was the one in French at 16 to 18 on 11.835 and 15.660. So they made cutbacks, or is this a temporary problem? Also missing since at least October 5th, making us wonder if it is finally gone for good, the Afropop music jammer on 17660 from Gabon between 11.30 and 15.30. Meanwhile, the Africa number 1 transmission on 17630 continues to be heard, perhaps with better reception than before. 17660, thus, is free for Saudi Arabia's French service starting at 1400. Via Mark Nichols and Anker Peterson, we have news from Radio St. Helena. They've decided the date for this year's Radio St. Helena Day worldwide shortwave broadcast. It's Saturday, December 15th. Furthermore, it's a double anniversary for them, the 40th anniversary of broadcasting for Radio St. Helena and the 10th anniversary of their shortwave transmissions. As always, it'll be on 11092.5 upper sideband with 1,000 watts and a three-element monoband directional antenna. They plan to be on the air continuously from 1730 to 0100 UT, changing the target area every hour or so, starting with New Zealand and ending with Central and South America. Jari Savolainen in Finland, Martin Groot in Netherlands, Brian Alexander in Pennsylvania have been monitoring the 50-meter band broadcasts from Ethiopia. They've been adding more frequencies. S. Hasegawa in Japan sums it up. Ethiopians are now heard between 15 and 20 UT on 5960, 5970, 5980, and 5990. Voice of Tigray Revolution is on 5960 and 5980. Radio Ethiopia on 5990 and Radio Fana on 5970. Brian Alexander hears 5970 opening at 0257 parallel to 7210 and 6109.9 and 5980 opening at 0356 parallel to 6185. In northern Oklahoma, I had surprisingly good reception of a service for southern Sudan, interactive radio instruction, 15650 via South Africa. It's at 14 to 1430 UT. English lessons of a very elementary nature. Scheduled Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday only. Kai Ludwig reports that Deutsche Welle added on short notice an English broadcast to Burma, October 4th, 16 to 17 UT on 9485, using a backup transmitter at the Trincomalee Sri Lanka site. They were already using 9485 beamed elsewhere. And the audio was not exactly synchronized, according to monitoring by Joe's Jacob in India. While Western stations were scrambling to increase shortwave broadcasts to Burma, guess what was happening at China Radio International? In CIDX Messenger, Sue Hickey observes, I was listening to CRI's international news program, the top news items around the world. I listened to the entire program. Not once did it mention the events in Burma. Not the fact that thousands of ordinary people were taken to the streets, joined by many Buddhist monks denouncing the regime. Why would this be? Well, China's been a supporter of the Burmese government for ages, and they want to stay on good terms with it. All Burmese people want democracy and an end to the dictatorship, something not available in China. On shortwave programs, Richard Cuff remarks, since China remains a society with controlled media, CRI should be viewed skeptically as a source of unbiased news. Shame on us for expecting anything different. On October 5th, Jose Miguel Romero in Spain noticed that Chinese Firedrake jamming was missing from many of its usual frequencies. This may well have been due to the typhoon hitting Hainan at the time. 2 days later, I was hearing Firedrake on some of its usual frequencies. At least three of the four remaining English broadcasts from Radio Japan to North America, all relayed via Canada, have interference problems. Don't they know about this in Tokyo? The 0500 on 6110 has heavy interference from a couple of off-frequency Latin Americans, notably CVC in Chile. I've also found the 1200 UT broadcast on 6120 colliding with Radio Singapore International. And then the 1400, at least on Saturdays, has some co-channel interference on 11705. Between 13 and 1330 UT, I've occasionally heard some English on Radio Nikkei, the private Japanese shortwave broadcaster, on 6055. So has Ron Howard in California on 3925 between 0830 and 0900. In fact, the program, he says, was Let's Read the Nikkei Weekly with Jeffrey Swigum in English and Japanese, talking about current events, keywords and phrases, and going over a vocabulary. The half-hour program is sponsored by the Society for Testing English Proficiency, also parallel on 6055 and 9595. That was Saturday, September 29th. The September edition of Whole World on the Radio Dial from Radio Ukraine International includes an interview with Oldrich Cheap, chairman of the HFCC, about problems implementing DRM. He says one problem is that coexistence with AM is difficult because DRM causes interference. It can even remind us of Cold War jamming. That discourages some DXers are not very happy about this kind of interference, and they complain. We're trying somehow to regulate the problem, recommending to our members that DRM transmissions be placed in 13 clusters on the band that are adjacent to each other and not dispersed among AM transmissions. But that situation is not complete as we would like to have it. In DX Listening Digest, Joe Book explains a phenomenon when you hear an enhanced signal level for a few seconds from a shortwave station, which is in your skip zone. For example, for him in Delaware, Greenville, on the 17 megahertz band. Meteors entering the atmosphere are ionizing air molecules, causing a temporary enhancement of the signal. You may hear a swooping sound because the meteor, of course, is moving very quickly, causing a Doppler effect, a slight shift in the reflected frequency. The agency providing the propagation info we usually quote has changed its name. The NOAA Space Environment Center is now the Space Weather Prediction Center, SWPC, since October 1st. Okay, but I've never cared much for the space weather terminology. Weather ought to be reserved for what happens from the troposphere to the ground involving air. When I say Boulder, I mean SWPC. The propagation outlook from Boulder, issued October 9th. A and K indices peaking at 15 and 4 October 20th. 25 and 5 October 26th, 12 and 3 October 30th, down to 5 and 2 through October 16th, also on the 23rd, 28th, and starting November 1st. Solar flux steady at only 67 through November 5th. That's World of Radio, 1377. Glenn Hauser, hoping you'll hear me again next week.